Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review for Thursday, August 16th, 2018. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Election 2018, Candidates State Their Case. Pritzker Pledges Infrastructure Push During Decatur Stop by Ryan Boyles, Decatur. Noting the area's key role in the agriculture and transportation industries, Democratic gubernatorial candidate J.B. Pritzker promised dozens of supporters on Wednesday he would push for a capital project to improve infrastructure in Decatur and across the state. Macon County is such an important part of the state of Illinois. You are an important agricultural and transportation hub for this state and for this nation, Pritzker said during a stop Wednesday afternoon at the Decatur Civic Center. I will never forget that. Pritzker made the comments during the final stop on his downstate bus tour before Thursday's statewide Democrat Day at the Illinois State Fair in Springfield. The Democratic candidate for governor was joined by his running mate, State Representative Juliana Stratton, as well as U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, 13th Congressional District candidate Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, State Senator Andy Menard, Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, and Macon County Democratic Party Chairman Jim Underwood. The group spoke for more than 30 minutes during what became a warm-up for the Thursday State Fair appearance. Dozens of supporters filled the Civic Center to applaud and cheer while candidates called for unity in efforts to unseat Republican incumbents like Governor Bruce Rauner and U.S. Representative Rodney Davis of Taylorville. The visit comes just under 3 months before the November 6th general election, which is already the most expensive political race in the country. Pritzker, the billionaire heir to the Hyatt family fortune, has more than $100 million in his campaign fund, while Rauner has $77 million on hand. Libertarian Cash Jackson and Conservative Party candidate Sam McCann are also running for governor. On Wednesday, Rauner and state Republicans rallied in Springfield for Governor's Day at the state fair, with the governor attacking Pritzker and saying everything's on the line in the coming election. In Decatur, Pritzker and the Democrats took shots at Rauner's record and aimed to energize supporters. Bruce Rauner has run a lot of negative commercials. Have you seen him run one positive commercial? No, Pritzker said. Why isn't he running any positive commercials about his record? Terrible record. He hasn't done anything for working families across the state of Illinois. Speaking after the rally, Pritzker said that if elected, getting an infrastructure bill that will address Illinois' roads, bridges, and waterways will be critically important for him during his first year in office. The last comprehensive capital plan in Illinois, the $31 billion Illinois Jobs Now plan, was signed by then-Governor Pat Quinn in 2009. When asked how to cover the cost of a capital plan, Pritzker suggested possible revenue streams such as legalized sports betting, online sales tax, and legalizing and taxing marijuana. Our bus tour is called the Think Big Bus Tour, in part because over the course of my life, I've focused on getting big things done for a lot of people across the state of Illinois, Pritzker said. Getting an infrastructure bill passed that helps us build up our road, bridges, and waterways is going to be critically important in our first year in office. A report earlier this year found that Illinois ranks fifth in the nation in terms of the number of structurally deficient bridges in 2017, with 2303 such bridges, or 8.6% of the total in the state. That number is up from 2243 in 2016, according to the study done by the American Road and Transportation Builders Association, a Washington-based trade group that used Federal Highway Administration figures. The American Society of Civil Engineers gave Illinois roads a C-minus grade this year. Pritzker also spoke about his graduated income tax plan, in which high earners pay more and many people would pay less. Pritzker said it would not only serve as a tax cut for lower and middle-class families, but that the shift would lead to lower property taxes. Republicans opposed the idea, saying it would lead to negative consequences for the middle class and state as a whole. That fair tax system allows us to pay for schools differently, and that's really what keeps our property taxes so high, Pritzker said. A fair tax system will allow us to shift the burden to the state to pay for schools and off of local property taxes. Rauner, Republicans go after Madigan, taxes, by Bernard Schoenberg, the State Journal Register, and John O'Connor, Associated Press, Springfield. Governor Bruce Rauner told a Republican gathering in Springfield on Wednesday that everything's on the line in the November election. It's crunch time, Rauner told a joint meeting of the GOP State Central Committee and the Republican County Chairman's Association at the Wyndham Springfield City Center. The meeting opened the State Fair's Governor's Day events at the fairgrounds. Democrat Day at the State Fair is today. We have the threat of complete hostile takeover of our state by the corrupt Chicago machine, Rauner said. They want to tax us into oblivion. We can't let that happen. We've got to beat these guys and stop their tax hikes. Democratic gubernatorial candidate J.B. Pritzker, who made a stop in Decatur on Wednesday, has said he wants Illinois to go to a graduated income tax, where high earners pay more and many people would pay less. Republicans allege that the tax would end up costing the middle class more. Everybody wants more economic competitiveness and more economic opportunity, Rauner said. You don't get there with higher taxes. You don't get there with regulations. You get there with free enterprise. Cut the red tape. Cut the regulations, just like they're doing in Washington, D.C., and then you get a booming economy. Republicans at the annual Governor's Day at the Illinois State Fair were buoyed when predicted thunderstorms failed to materialize for their fairgrounds festivities Wednesday afternoon, and by the deflation of Democrats who hoped to one-up their opponents on their day Thursday with keynoter Joe Biden. The former Democratic vice president canceled because of illness. Freedom and opportunity, limited government, lower taxes, individual liberty, personal responsibility, the values that have made America the greatest nation on earth are the values of our Republican Party and are the reason we're going to become the majority party in the state of Illinois in the future, Rauner said as he took the stage after Republican candidates for Attorney General, Secretary of State, Comptroller, and Treasurer. Rauner stuck to a familiar theme by attacking Michael Madigan, the Illinois Democratic House Speaker, whose success at thwarting the conservative agenda Rauner brought to office in 2015 has earned him more mentions by name at GOP gatherings than most Republican politicians themselves. Madigan, who is also the state Democratic Party chairman, is largely the reason the party holds 67 House seats to 50 for the Republicans, rules the Senate 37 to 22, and holds 4 of 6 statewide offices. Not surprisingly, Rauner tied Madigan, speaking longer than any other state legislator in U.S. history, to Pritzker, claiming that the two Democrats are in cahoots to raise income tax and crush jobs. Everything is on the line, Rauner said. The fundamental question, can we continue to fight back and break the stranglehold that the Madigan machine has had on our state and grow jobs, cut taxes, get term limits, and the corruption? Rauner asked the crowd. Can we continue on the battle to save our state, or will we fall backward? The attack on Madigan confirms they don't have anything in the way of an accomplishment to talk about. Madigan's spokesman, Steve Brown, said, it's more falsehoods on just about every level. A Pritzker spokeswoman did not respond. Rauner won only a narrow victory over State Representative Jeannie Ives of Wheaton in the March primary for governor. And among his opponents on the November ballot is State Representative Sam McCann of Plainview, who is running as a Conservative Party candidate. Tim Schneider, chairman of the state GOP, told reporters Wednesday that the past Ives challenge and McCann being on the ballot are just distractions. He said as Republicans meet voters, it's clear the people of Illinois don't want a Madigan puppet as their governor. Schneider also said that President Donald Trump should tone down the rhetoric, but that his administration has also brought tax relief and a strong national defense. A parade of speakers at the joint meeting included statewide candidates and others, including Richard Porter, Republican National Committeeman from Illinois. He accused Pritzker of sucking up to former Governor Rod Blagojevich in the past and Madigan now. "What's one of the greatest things about being a billionaire?" Porter said. "You don't have to suck up to anybody." That's Donald Trump. But about Pritzker, he said, "The guy is a billionaire ass-kicker." Pritzker has said he is independent. The Rauner-Pritzker battle is shaping up to be the most expensive race for governor in U.S. history, with more than $100 million already invested, much of it from personal checkbooks of the candidates themselves. The day's other star was Erica Herold, the Harvard-educated Champaign lawyer who is seeking the open attorney general's post against Democratic State Senator Kwame Raoul of Chicago. Herold, Miss America 2003, and Rauner continued the claim that four-term incumbent Democratic Attorney General Lisa Madigan decided not to seek re-election only after Herold announced her bid last fall. They criticized Raoul for suggesting at the time that Madigan would have acquitted herself well against Miss America. Raoul later apologized for the characterization. Herold promised a fight to reform workers' compensation laws she says are driving businesses out of state, an unfair property tax system, and a criminal justice system that squanders tax dollars. A spokeswoman for Raoul did not immediately respond. "This will be a tough fight, but as Senator Raoul will find out, I may be Miss America, but I am not Miss Congeniality," Herold said. "I am the fighter that you need to provide balance in Springfield, and I am the fighter that you need to help move our party forward as we reform this state." Education. First day surprise. Harris School students get free supplies, backpacks, by Valerie Wells. Decatur. Students at Harris School were met with a pleasant surprise Wednesday to kick off the new year for Decatur Public Schools. Every child received free school supplies and a backpack, courtesy of the First Chance Foundation of San Antonio, Texas. "San Antonio is a blessed city," said Heather Swindall, who runs the foundation with her husband, Clint. She is originally from Decatur and lifelong friends with Harris's assistant principal, Kelly Larrick. "People here support the children's organizations we support that help abused and neglected children," she said. "A child doesn't have to be in a shelter to be in need of help." Poverty causes some of those things. Location causes some of those things. If we hear of an area that needs something, we'll help out. About 9,000 students found themselves getting out of bed early in the morning and getting ready for their first day of school across Decatur, from pre-kindergarten to high school. While many had supplies in hand from back-to-school shopping and through various local outreach programs, the need is always present. Teachers often reach into their own pockets to help, and they, as much as anyone, are acutely aware of poverty's effect on learning and the need to seek out resources wherever available. While talking a couple of years ago, Larrick told Swindall about Harris's high poverty rate, with 69% of students falling into the low-income category and 37% of students with a disability. Because Harris is a one-level building, many of the students with disabilities throughout the Macon-Piatt Special Education District are assigned there. "I actually went to a conference 2 years ago in San Antonio, and she lives right outside of San Antonio," Larrick said. "I ended up staying for 2 extra days with her and her husband after the conference. She got to talking about teachers in Texas at that conference, and I just felt like asking for the foundation's help." Clint Swindall is a motivational speaker, often visiting schools in Texas. The foundation's mission statement reads, "Our mission is to financially and physically assist other nonprofit organizations with the nurturing and development of disadvantaged children." "We can't approve a project immediately," Heather Swindall said. "I have to take it to the committee and say here's an option. We don't take requests." This year, the committee agreed to help Harris, and the foundation ordered the school supplies and backpacks through a wholesale company. Because the foundation is nonprofit, it didn't have to pay taxes. Plus, it got a good price that allowed it to help all 291 students, Swindall said. Harris teachers devoted some time Monday to packing the supplies into the backpacks to hand over to the kids on the first day of school, and distributed them after breakfast Wednesday. Jocelyn Weinbrenner and her family came to the Harris Open House Tuesday, and when Jocelyn found out about the backpacks, she was so excited to get hers she could hardly wait, said her teacher, Heather Groves. She said, "Can I have the color I want?" Groves said. She was the first child to school Wednesday, and she did get the color she wanted, blue, which she said is her favorite. Classmate Janilla Hall had a pink backpack. Kenden Smith and Antoine Wheeler were both ready for their first day and energetic enough to lead an impromptu dance. Kaden said he's looking forward to being back to school. "I like math," he said. "I like learning and all that goes with it." Superintendent Paul Fregeau, who planned to visit all 22 buildings Wednesday, happened to be at Harris in time to catch Kaden and Antoine's dance and asked Kaden to show him some moves, too. "The supplies will be a great help to teachers and students alike," Groves said. First Chance Foundation began as a result of the Swindalls attending a lot of fundraisers, Heather Swindall said, and 15 years ago, they visited a local children's shelter in Texas. When they asked the directors what they needed most, what they heard opened their eyes to something they hadn't realized. They said, "Soap," Heather Windall said. "They have 36 kids in residence, and they go through a lot of soap. A lot of organizations need things other than just money raised, which is used for things to help kids directly." The couple decided to establish a foundation of their own, which would fulfill the needs they think are most important. To be able to support a school back in Illinois, knowing that they need it, was really heart-filling, Heather Swindall said. "Sometimes when kids don't have supplies and another child does, it's embarrassing. If we can encourage them, with everybody having something, it makes them feel proud and not worry about mom not buying what I need. We're giving them equal balance across the school." Correction by Tom Lisi. John Halley is the terminal operations manager at Norfolk Southern Railway in Decatur. The information was incorrect in the story headlined "Norfolk Southern Struggling to Hire 30 Train Conductors in Decatur" in the August 15th edition of the Herald and Review. Local and state. IHI Turbo America's expansion gets boost. Herald and Review. Shelbyville. IHI Turbo America's nearly $40 million expansion of its plant near Shelbyville has gotten a $2 million boost from a federal rural economic development loan award through Shelby Electric Cooperative. In a news release Wednesday, the utility said the interest-free loan will help fund a 250,000 square foot expansion expected that will add 90 jobs by 2022 for the company, which makes turbocharger products at its plants on Illinois 16 west of Shelbyville. This is the third expansion for the plant, with a supporting U.S. Department of Agriculture REDL loan through Shelby Electric Cooperative, the utility said. "Investing in the rural communities SEC serves is at the core of why electric cooperatives were formed some 80 years ago," said Josh Schallenberger, president and CEO of the utility. "This continues to be a cornerstone of rural development, whether through direct resource allocation or through opportunities to partner, as is the case with ITA and USDA's rural development. With this latest expansion, estimated to cost nearly $40 million, ITA will double the number of employees at its facility. The people that work at IHI Turbo America appreciate the support and commitment of Shelby Electric Cooperative, the USDA, and members of the Shelbyville community," ITA General Manager John Schuschler said. ITA designs and manufactures a full range of diesel, gasoline, and natural gas turbocharger products and accessories for the agricultural, industrial, marine, commercial truck, and military markets, according to its website. It provides support from advanced engineering to mass production to customers in North and South America. ITA has been nominated to produce turbochargers for a large auto manufacturer starting in 2020, according to the news release, requiring additional capital equipment and employees to support production of a new line of turbochargers. The new jobs include manufacturing, engineering, and management positions. At 9:30 a.m. Friday, ITA, federal, state, and local officials will be at ITA for symbolic check presentation and tour of the plant and current expansion work. This is quite an investment in the United States for ITA's owners, who are based out of Tokyo, Japan, and to put that money to work on this expansion project in a small rural town in downstate Illinois speaks volumes about the dedicated people who work and live in that community, said U.S. Representative John Shimkus, Republican of Collinsville, whose district includes Shelbyville. Not guilty plea entered in shooting. Corey J. Marquis facing attempted murder charges, by Tony Reed. Decatur. Corey J. Marquis pleaded not guilty in Macon County Circuit Court on Wednesday to a charge of attempted murder in the shooting of a Decatur man. Marquis, 30, also pleaded not guilty to aggravated battery with a firearm and being an armed habitual criminal in the June 17th shooting in the 1000 block of East Main Street. In court Wednesday, Decatur Police Detective Barry Hitchens said the 34-year-old victim survived a life-threatening wound after Marquis shot him through the torso. Under questioning from Macon County State's Attorney Jay Scott, Hitchens said witnesses saw Marquis chasing and pointing a gun at the victim before firing one shot from a revolver. Sworn affidavits filed in the case said Marquis was arrested July 21st after a team of police officers and U.S. Marshals found him hiding under a pile of garbage bags at a home in the 2400 block of East El Dorado Street. A 22-year-old woman at that address was booked on a preliminary charge of concealing or aiding a fugitive, which is subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Marquis was arraigned by Judge Phoebe Bowers, who set the case for trial before Judge Thomas Griffith and scheduled a pretrial hearing for October 2nd. Marquis is being held without bond in the Macon County Jail. Cavallo Bus Lines ends operations. Travel company posts notice of closure on website, by Tony Reed. Gillespie. Mamma Mia is going to have to wait. Marilyn Stewart, who lives just north of Taylorville, was due to travel to the Circa 21 Dinner Playhouse in Rock Island Wednesday to see the hit stage show. Then she got a call Tuesday telling her the trip was off because the bus company booked for her tour group's transport, Gillespie-based Cavallo Bus Lines, had gone out of business that day. I was very surprised because their buses are usually full, said Stewart, 63, who has traveled on the firm's signature green and yellow luxury coaches many times. Cavallo was popular with tour operators and those booking trips for large groups. Moquegua-based Timmy's Tours had used the firm exclusively for its coast-to-coast bus travel needs, and aware Cavallo was in trouble, has spent the last few days lining up alternative bus transportation. Company owner Timmy Kaufman said all her trips were covered and there were no cancellations or schedule changes. Anxious to head off calls from concerned passengers, she posted a letter on her website announcing the Cavallo closure. Kaufman told the Herald and Review that Cavallo had played a key role in the success of her firm, and many of its drivers were well known and liked by her customers. Calls to Cavallo's offices seeking comment were not answered Wednesday. Founded as a family firm in 1942, according to the company's website, it grew to 220 employees who run a fleet of more than 100 coaches coast to coast. Cavallo said its coaches logged more than 5.2 million miles a year. 2 years ago, it was bought by an Alexandria, Virginia private equity firm called Bennett Capital Partners. Messages seeking comment left with Bennett were also not returned Wednesday. Bennett's website described the firm as specializing in, among other areas, the acquisition and recapitalizations of middle-market companies, family-run and founder-led businesses, industry consolidation, management buyouts, and corporate divestitures. $1.8 million to improve airport runways, by Jalen Cook, Decatur. A $1.8 million project set for next year is part of ongoing maintenance to the Decatur Airport's three runways. The Decatur Park District's Board of Commissioners on Wednesday voted 5-0 to accept a $1,809,130 grant to regroove runways at the airport, which is owned and operated by the district. Airport Director Tim Wright said the grant money comes from the Federal Aviation Administration and the Illinois Department of Transportation, which oversees state FAA contracts and disperses grant money to airports. Airport runways need to be regrooved any time new pavement is put down on the runway's surface, which Wright said happened at Decatur Airport about 3 weeks ago. The runway grooves help guide water off of the surface and into the grassy areas on the side, he said. Wright said the project will not interfere with any of the airport's flight schedules or operations. In addition to Cape Air, which became the airport's commercial air carrier in February, the facility also serves private planes and aircraft leaving and going to the Illinois National Guard's Army Aviation Support Facility next door. Wright said that kind of runway maintenance is required at airports within the state. He said the airport and IDOT have not worked out a schedule for when the regrooving will take place next year, but it should be a spring project, he said. In the meantime, Wright said the airport is preparing to host its fourth annual Scareport event on October 20th. Participants can run in either a 5K or 10K run on two of the facility's three runways, and costumes are encouraged. Registration fees for Scareport are $26 before the event date and $31 on race day. All proceeds benefit educational programming and student outreach at the airport. To register, visit active.com or visit the Decatur Indoor Sports Center, 1295 West Wood Street. Man denies sexually abusing two girls, by Tony Reed, Decatur. Taylor R. Zeckley, 18, appeared before a judge Wednesday and pleaded not guilty to charges involving the repeated rape and sexual molestation of Decatur girls younger than 10. Macon County Circuit Judge Phoebe Bowers arraigned Zeckley on two charges of predatory criminal sexual assault and two counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. She set the case for the trial call of Judge Jeffrey Geisler and scheduled a pretrial hearing for October 1st. A sworn affidavit about the charges from Decatur Police Detective Eric Matthews described the victims as best friends who were assaulted together. One girl had told police the abuse took place until a week before Zeckley's arrest on July 27th. The other girl said that Taylor raped us and described the word rape as meaning where he pulls down your pants and he does all nasty stuff to you, said Matthews in the affidavit. The abuse was exposed when the mother of one of the girls was checking through her daughter's cell phone and found disturbing Facebook Messenger conversations. Matthew said the content of the conversations led the mother to believe her child was being raped. Zeckley remained held in the Macon County Jail Wednesday night in lieu of posting $500,000 bond. Groups plan work session, Decatur. The City Council, Board of Education, and Park Board will come together and hold a special public intergovernmental work session meeting next Wednesday at Millikan University. The meeting will be held on the third floor banquet room of Millikan's University Commons building and will start at 5:30 p.m. A news release from the Decatur School District said the three entities will discuss collaboration efforts and the leveraging of local dollars. An agenda for the meeting shows that discussion between the entities will include 10-minute overviews of goals and discussion on action steps for the next 12 months. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Herald and Review for Thursday, August 16th, 2018. Please stay tuned.